Welcome to the Grace to You audio blog. After you hear what John MacArthur says, stick around and find out how to get in on the conversation.
Now, I want us to look more closely at what God means in this command because it's laid out so magnificently. Let's talk about the manner of this love. Back to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's pretty clear. It is the love of self-sacrifice. It is not the love of domination. You are to love your wives just as Christ also loves the church and gave himself up for her. That is the manner of love. The same kind of love that Christ extended to his church. In Acts 20, it says he purchased the church with his own blood. In Romans 5:8, it pictures him pouring out his love in his death for unworthy sinners. In Romans 8, it is an unchanging, undying love. He loves us with a love from which we can never be separated. I have often heard people, and I suppose they have good intentions when they say it, say about their wife, "I love her too much." To which you can promptly reply, "Do you love her as much as Christ loved the church? If you don't, then you don't love her enough." That's the standard. When Paul says to husbands, love your wives and sacrifice your lives for them as Christ gave himself up for his church, this is, frankly, revolutionary stuff. It's revolutionary today where you have an agenda in which a man basically says, as long as you fulfill what I want out of life, you can be my wife. And when you cease to do that, I'll get somebody else, right? That's how it works today. What God said through Paul was shocking then, and it is shocking now. Peter further defines this love without ever really using the word. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. We can all rejoice in verse 6 where Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. But how about verse 7? You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers may not be hindered. What a great statement. Now, there are a number of things here. Just to remind you, let me give you three C's, men, that you need to remember. One, consideration. Live with your wives in an understanding way. This is opposite the caveman mentality, the macho mentality, the independent mentality, the self-serving mentality. This is understanding, sensitivity, meeting her needs, understanding her feelings, fears, anxieties, concerns, goals, dreams, desires. That's what he means. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Sometimes it boils down to listening, doesn't it? Understand her heart, because you cannot express your love to her unless it is sacrificing love that meets needs. You have to know what those needs are. Not only consideration, but here's an old word, chivalry. He says in verse 7, live with her, not only in an understanding way, but as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. What does that mean? It simply means that you are unequal physically. She is weaker. You understand that there is a physical weakness in woman. God has so designed her to be under the strength and protection of a man. She needs our strength. Be her strength on the physical side. And then thirdly, communion. Communion. Treat her with honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Men and women are unequal physically. They are equal spiritually. Treat her as a spiritual equal. I love what it says in Song of Solomon, where the man says, "This is my beloved." And the woman says, "This is my beloved, my friend." A deep sense of intimate, equal sharing of spiritual things. Gentlemen, if we are to be the husbands God wants us to be, we must understand our wives, understanding their needs, understanding their feelings, understanding what it is that they long for and desire. We must live with them, providing our strength physically, strength emotionally, strength of character. All of those things could be added. And we must treat them with communion as equals spiritually. We are to love our wives. That is a command. You cannot say, well, I don't love her anymore without confessing that you've sinned, that you've sinned. You say, well, wait a minute, you don't know how she's treated me. That's not the issue. Christ loved sinners when they hated him. Is that not true? And that's the model. That's the standard. Doesn't mean that there's no emotion there. If you truly love, the emotion is rich. The feelings are thrilling. The friendship is wonderful. The biblical definition really plunges to some immeasurable depths. Let's go back to Ephesians. In verse 25, it says, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Can I say it simply, gentlemen? The Spirit-filled husband loves his wife, not for what she can do for him, but what he can do for her. That's how Christ's love worked and works. He loves us not because there's something in us that attracts him. He loves us because he determined to love us in spite of our unattractiveness. He loves us with a love that seeks not to tyrannize us, a love that seeks rather to meet our needs, to understand us, to provide strength for us. It's not a question of deserving. We didn't do anything to earn Christ's love. It wasn't because we were more desirable than other people that he set his affection on us. We don't deserve his love. There's nothing attractive in us. God doesn't look over the world and pick out the people who somehow draw out his affection. Not at all. God loves us. Christ loves us like Hosea loved Gomer. He saw her as a prostitute. He watched her carry out her professional prostitution. He watched her go through many lovers. He watched her stripped naked on a block being auctioned off, a prostitute for the highest bidder in the slave market. And he went into the place and bought her, not because there was anything about her that was clean and sweet and gracious and lovely, but because it was in his heart to love her. And so God loved prostituted Israel. And so Christ loves his church, even before they are his church, and thus sets his affection upon them. And even after they are his church and they prostitute themselves to iniquities, he still loves them. It is a love that never dies. It is a love that can't be killed. It is a love that is utterly and completely self-sacrificing. I suppose if there's any one way to characterize this love, it would be to say it means death to self. Swallow your pride, swallow your personal desires, swallow your personal ambitions, swallow your fantasies and dreams about how life might have been with someone else or under some other circumstances. Put all of that aside. It is all meaningless. It only boils down to temptation. And love your wives with a love that knows nothing of self and only of her and her needs and her concerns and her heart. And sacrifice your life on her behalf. This is the kind of love, of course, that the Spirit of God gives us the capacity to carry and to share. The love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. The very love which Christ himself demonstrated toward us, we partake in that love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The Spirit produces in us this incredible love. 1 Peter 1:22 says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls or been converted, you now have a sincere love. You have the capacity to fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again. This is the kind of love that belongs only to people who have been born again. The world tries to hang on to romantic love as long as it possibly can, and eventually the bells stop ringing and the whistle stop blowing and life gets pretty mundane and pretty routine and you start getting older and something outside your own marriage may look better than what's there at home, and you can't sustain that love and you can't hold on to that love because you don't have a new nature. But we who have been born again have a sincere love, a fervent love, because of the imperishable seed of the living and abiding Word of God, which has granted us new life. God so loved us that He gave His Son. Christ so loved us that He gave His life. We love our wives to the point of self-sacrifice.
Now we want to hear from you. Here's the address, gty.org/audioblog. That's gty.org/audioblog.